You could argue, as many do, that the issue that defines Mitt Romney's time as governor of Massachusetts is health care and his role in pushing the Massachusetts health care reform law. It's been a political albatross for Romney in his campaign for president, but it's also been an example he uses to show how he favors bipartisan cooperation. This morning, in the conclusion of our series, Romney's Roots in Massachusetts, WBUR's Martha Biebinger looks back on how Mitt Romney compromised and influenced the state's health care law.
Health care was rising on Governor Romney's agenda as he moved into the Statehouse corner office in 2003. Speaking to WBUR in his second month on the job, Romney talked about covering the uninsured and the challenge of high health care costs.
We're now seeing health care costs for the poor rising at double-digit rates. That's something which has to be brought in line, and I think in part by people picking up a small share of the total cost to providing that service.
Many of the people Romney thought could pick up a share of the cost were getting free care at hospitals and clinics. The state was picking up the charge, more than $1 billion a year. Romney filed a bill that proposed shifting that money into new subsidized insurance plans. Romney was a Republican governor, floating a major health care overhaul before a legislature that was overwhelmingly Democratic. Romney gauged the bill's prospects with WBUR.
I doubt that my plan will be accepted in toto without any changes, but I do believe that everyone recognizes that having 500,000 people who aren't insured isn't good for them. It isn't good for the rest of our citizens who are paying taxes and paying health care premiums, and we've got to fix the system to get everybody better health care coverage.
Romney knew the legislature was interested in health care. Several months earlier, Senate President Robert Travellini had outlined a proposal. House Speaker Sal DeMasi was planning his strategy on the issue. Romney met weekly with DeMasi and Travellini, but legislators felt like the rest of the members were not worth the governor's time.
Governor Romney did not let legislators into his office. You just did not come in.
Pat Walrath, a Democrat, was the House point person on health care while Romney was governor. She recalls two, maybe three meetings with him. Walrath says the contrast with prior Republican governors was startling.
I think he had a whole different understanding as to how government should work. He was the CEO, and when he said, do it, everybody marched in step. It wasn't finding consensus. That was not the model that he used at all.
Romney's style was to delegate work with legislators to a few top aides. Those aides, not Romney, also handled relations with a broad coalition of healthcare, union, and religious groups that held frequent rallies at the Statehouse.
Hallelujah. Can't hear you. Give it up now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That coalition agreed with Romney's goal of covering the uninsured, but they did not like the bare-bones coverage he proposed, calling his plan Yugo Healthcare. Romney's strategy was to inform, but not negotiate with these powerful consumer groups. Tim Murphy was Romney's Health and Human Services Secretary.
We were going to do what we were going to do, but we were going to share information. We were going to let people know what our vantage points was. We were going to be transparent about that. And we felt that that was a way to build trust within the community.
Critics argue that Romney only reached out to opponents when it was politically expedient. They point to his work with the late Senator Ted Kennedy. In 1994, Romney and Kennedy ran against each other in a bitter U.S. Senate race. Now they formed a critical partnership. Romney needed Kennedy's help to persuade federal officials to let Massachusetts use hundreds of millions of Medicaid dollars for a health coverage law. He thanked Kennedy publicly many times.
Senator Kennedy, together we pitched the secretaries on our vision to ensure all our citizens and on the need for federal support to make the vision real.
In the fall of 2005, the feds were still threatening to withhold hundreds of millions of dollars. While Romney was in intense negotiations to secure the money, Speaker DeMasi filed a health coverage bill that Romney aides say made the governor's job much more difficult. DeMasi wanted to tax employers who did not cover their employees. Consumer groups and some economists loved the idea, but Romney and Senate President Travellini were opposed. DeMasi's demand that employers pay for health insurance or pay a fine turned into a possible deal breaker that threatened defeat for everyone.
There was a logjam for weeks and weeks. There were various options being considered.
Well, Mike Widmer, president of the Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation, drafted some of those options and shuttled them across the marble lobby between the offices of the Speaker and Senate President. Governor Romney was not part of the negotiations, but Widmer kept Romney's Secretary Murphy in the loop.
They were opposed to having any tax on employers. I remember talking to Tim, and he said, do we really need to do this? And we're, you know, the administration's opposed to it. I said, well, do you want a bill or not, essentially, because something was going to have to give.
Romney grew increasingly frustrated as the logjam continued. In late January, he made a rare personal appeal. Tim Murphy was out walking on a Saturday when his BlackBerry went off.
It's an email from Mitt, and like, I'm going to write this letter, and this is what I want it to say, and I want to go and deliver it.
Romney delivered the letters the next day, on a Sunday, to Travellini and DeMacy at home. The wrinkle-free governor found Travellini in sweatpants. DeMacy was not home to greet Romney. The letter, recalls Murphy, said, let's get going. We can't have an employer tax, but think about all the things we could achieve.
That was just one of those moments in time where he felt that I need to personally intercede. That was not kind of his typical thing, was not to kind of walk down the hallway and drop in on folks. And so I think when he does it, you know, it has a little bit more weight to it.
Romney's letter did not end the standoff between Travellini and DeMacy. Jack Connors, the powerful chairman of Partners Healthcare, helped bring DeMacy closer to a compromise. But many observers say the logjam finally shifted when the wives of Travellini and DeMacy brought their husbands together for dinner and said, work it out. The two men eventually agreed to a modest fine for employers who don't offer coverage, and the bill sailed through the House and Senate.
This is a remembrance of this historic day.
At a well-orchestrated bill-signing ceremony, ushers handed out programs and buttons while Governor Romney took the stage at Faneuil Hall.
Massachusetts, once again, is taking a giant leap forward, and it's our faith in you that gives us the confidence to do just that.
Legislators were all smiles during the ceremony, but minutes after, their mood soured. Romney aides told the press the governor would veto 8 sections of the bill, including the legislature's carefully crafted compromise on that modest employer fine. Legislators had become increasingly wary of Romney's motivations around the health care bill. Senator Richard Moore suspected Romney vetoed the employer penalty because he knew it wouldn't play well if he ran for president.
This bill should have been based on what was good for the people of Massachusetts, not what made somebody look good on the national scene with certain ideological interests that are in part of a presidential campaign. And those vetoes are just political vetoes.
But Romney's aide, Tim Murphy, argues that the governor was genuinely interested in covering the uninsured and that legislators knew Romney would not support the employer penalty. Murphy says Romney can claim, based on the health care law, that he knows how to work with bipartisan groups to fix complicated policy problems.
I look at Massachusetts health care reform and say, this is your textbook example of how to do it effectively. And I think it really reveals to me the type of leader that Mitt is.
Former Health Care for All Director John McDonough, who pushed for many changes to Romney's bill, gives him credit for compromising on a version that was more generous than the bill Romney proposed.
It indicates that he has a keen sense of political reality and that he is willing to adjust on policy details to achieve what he considers to be his overarching policy goal.
How to spread credit for the law that some now call Romney Care is still up for debate. Speaker DeMacy is often seen as the key player in sealing the deal. He's in prison now for an unrelated conspiracy and fraud conviction. Senate President Robert Travellini had the first public proposal. Romney was the first to propose key parts of what became the law, the connector, the individual mandate, and subsidized insurance. And he used close ties with the Bush administration to secure federal funding. A folder representing the health care law rests on a table next to Romney in his official statehouse portrait. It remains his signature accomplishment and the best way to evaluate how Romney works as a lawmaker. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.